into your bed, into your streams, into your streets, into your drink, into your bread, upon your cattle, upon your sheep, upon your oxen, in your field, into your drinks, into your sleep, until you break.
Do you want to start?
Or do you want me to start? I can't remember who started last time, but it was 6 weeks ago that we recorded, so I don't remember.
6 weeks?
No, it was probably four, but...
That's still a lot. That's a month.
Yeah, that's probably not actually that long. But when's the last episode come out?
I'll just do it.
Okay.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Real Belief Podcast, a podcast exploring the wonders of film through the lens of film. And religions in there too. I'm your host Xavier, and I'm also with my co-host Archie.
It's your boy. Here to talk about film and film.
We're gonna talk about, yeah. This isn't a very religious based episode. We're talking about the historical drama, The Prince of Egypt.
We're talking about the film that is probably most directly tied to religion because it's based. Well, I guess so was Nativity Story and Passion of the Christ, but
yeah,
it's literally based off a book of the Bible. So.
It is. The second book.
Sure.
I
know, yeah. It's in the Torah as well.
Yeah, it is. And for those who haven't read the Bible or haven't read the Torah or haven't watched the film, the Prince of Egypt is the story of an Egyptian prince, Moses, who learns of his identity as a Hebrew and is destined to become the chosen deliverer of his people.
I'd say that's also, there's slapstick in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of silly stuff that goes on in this movie. So what did you think? I knew this is a pretty, I'd say this is like top, from what I heard, because I've never seen this film before watching it a couple of days ago. This is like the cream of the cream when it comes to religious films. Like it's The Chosen's up there nowadays. The Passion of the Christ is up there nowadays. But those are like the top three that come to mind. I can't think of any other ones that are like incredible, like directly religious, I suppose. So what did you think?
I mean, I thought it was fine in the sense that, like, I think probably 95% of Disney movies are fine, and I would put this in the same category. It's not Disney, but it's got the same feel as, like, any 90s Disney animated movie, and it's, like, tone. I will say some of the animation was really, really good, specifically the, like, parting of the sea stuff was, like, really good animation. So I give a lot of points for that. But in terms of, like, enjoyment, I was just... enjoyed it like fine enough, but it wasn't something that was like I'd ever like rewatch, you know.
Yeah, my wife was like passing me watching this movie, and she thought the movie was on Disney Plus, kind of like you said, has that super Walt Disney animation type style. I guess DreamWorks,
because Katzenberg like pushed for this movie, and this was like one of his first projects after leaving Disney. So
right, I think they also employed like a ton of artists who previously worked for Walt Disney Animation.
Yeah, because Katzenberg left, worked with Spielberg to found DreamWorks, and brought a bunch of the Disney people over because he was liked by the Disney animators, and the animators didn't like Michael Eisner because he was like doing a lot of slashes to the animation department at the time and stuff like that, and just pissing off animators, so they all followed Katz, or a lot of them followed Katzenberg, and that sort of started the DreamWorks Disney rivalry.
To the film's credit, this movie, I feel like, is something that Disney, I mean, especially nowadays, but even back then, would never consider creating. Like, I think
that's why Katzenberg pitched it at Disney and got turned down, so that's why it was one of the first things he made when he had his own company, because Disney wouldn't let him make it, so he said, "All right. Bet I'm gonna do it myself." And then Eisner hated him for it for years.
Well, I mean, it's cool to see someone's idea that gets rejected like still come, especially to this quality. Yeah. You know, because something like this, it's something that would be rejected to like get picked up by another third party type thing. Mm-hmm. I imagine would be either given a incredibly low budget or like snipped at the heels on like the level of creativity that they were allowed to. I don't know. Just I guess probably make it more accessible to audience outside of religion. But I think it's kind of cool that it's strictly a religious film.
It is, but I think you could also watch it and not be religious at all and still like it, especially if you showed it to a kid.
Which right.
is obviously the target audience. It's aimed at like a younger audience. And I feel like you could, like, I feel like if I had watched this movie when I was 10, I would probably like it now. Cause that's sort of the only Disney films I really, really like are the ones that I liked when I was a kid, which was like Lion King and like Alice in Wonderland and stuff like that. Those are the ones I really like, but they were also the ones I liked as a kid. So
I'd say this is an instance of the book being better than the movie. I think there's a lot more.
I mean, that's most examples.
That's that was a joke, but
it's sacrilegious to say otherwise.
So one of the things that I disliked about this, well, I wouldn't go so far to say I disliked it. I disliked 90% of the songs in the movie.
Yeah, I'm not a big song guy. Like, unless they're like really, really good. Again, like the Lion King's music.
I thought you liked like Hamilton and stuff.
Yes, I like Broadway musicals. I don't so much like the animated musicals.
Okay.
Like, I like Broadway. I like a lot of the Golden Age Hollywood, like 40s, 50s musicals. I like a lot of those, like West Side Story. I guess West Side Story is 60s, but like a lot of those I like. But animated musicals specifically, I'm not usually a big fan of, because I feel like for me, the music tends to not really do much. Unless, again, it's one of those rare instances where it's like stellar, like The Lion King or something.
I think, did you have a favorite song or something that stood out in this film? I know you didn't really care for any of it, but.
I watched this movie probably 2.5-3 months ago. I can't remember a single song. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
We were going to do this episode like 3 episodes ago, and then something else happened. I don't remember what, when we pivoted, and I should have rewatched it before recording, but I was lazy and didn't.
No, it's okay. So I'll just say my two favorite songs. I like the one at the beginning. It was, this is going to sound real bad, but it's the slave song. Hmm. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a title, but it's the song where the slaves are singing and they're asking for God to remember them. That was pretty cool. It was super short, like probably only a 50 second song.
It's like the world building intro song, like the ice cutting song in Frozen.
Right. And there's another song. It's towards the middle of the film, and it's with Moses and Ramesses, and I think they're both singing. I'm not remembering, but that one. But I didn't love the music, and the slapstick was funny, but it wasn't like, maybe I'm just too mature. And I'm also not like, I didn't watch it when I was young, so I don't have the same nostalgia. Like, I'm sure if I watched Aladdin nowadays for the first time, I'd be like, that was fine.
I think Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston did a song for the movie that was pretty good. I think it only played in the credits, though. I think it's like Mom sings it as a lullaby or hums it as a lullaby early in the film. But then the full song plays in the credits.
I think that I read a trivia about that. I don't remember what it was.
Like, they hated each other.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, I wrote that too.
Did you know that the parting of the Red Sea sequence took 2 years to complete?
That's not surprising. It's a lot of highly detailed animation. And I think it's all hand-drawn too. There's no CG in that, is there?
I don't know. I thought the Prince of Egypt was a mixture of CG and hand-drawn.
You might be right.
But
it's in that era where that was a lot of what they did.
Yeah. But, I mean, the fact, I don't know. I have no idea.
I'll look that up real quick.
Yeah.
So, vamp for a minute.
Sure, if we didn't look it up, someone who's watching this would get, or listening to this would get really angry for us not getting our.
It's the first feature film from DreamWorks to be traditionally animated. It doesn't say multiple. animation styles. So
while you're looking that up, another one of the cool things that I liked, they did you read the thing about the voice of God and like how they decided that or what they were going to
do? They were originally going to have it be just like, or they did have it be like every voice actor recorded the lines, but then they like chose to use Val Kilmer's as the loudest, so it's like Moses or God is speaking to Moses through his inner voice or something like that. Is that right?
Right. That's basically it. It's just saying, let's see what it says. They realized they needed someone to be louder so you can still hear the rest of the cast. So I think it's like a an auditory thing more so than the inner voice thing.
Yeah.
But I still think it's pretty cool. Just the...
Let's see. A blend of traditional animation and computer-generated imagery was used in the depiction of the plagues and the parting of the Red Sea. So all the, like, really intense stuff. So it's a bit of both, yeah.
How'd you feel about the plague scene? Did you like it?
I like the animation of it. It looked nice, but...
Yeah. Yeah, it did look nice. It's a...
I mean,
it's
the whole movie did. It's a really well-animated movie.
So I know you're pretty critical of this film in the sense
really
that
critical of it. I just felt nothing.
Right. Do you think that this style of like animation is the, or I guess just animation in general, do you think it's the best way to make religious films palatable to someone who's since you're not religious, what am I trying to say? You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, is it a good way to make it palatable to like a general audience?
Yes.
Yes and no. It does sort of like break it into abstract where you can enjoy it without having any understanding or care about the religion. And you can still like get a deep understanding and still enjoy the story fully without it. But at the same time, it's not something that's going to make somebody like change their mind.
Right.
And then there's also the like cynical part of me that's like, how many people are like showing this to kids to like try and lure them in or something? But like, obviously that wasn't the intention of the studio, because the studio was just money. But
right, I'm sure
money
like
and art, to
be like fair. As someone who's not religious, it comes off like a indoctrination type thing.
Not necessarily, because it doesn't like, it's not super heavy-handed about that type of stuff. It's just telling the story.
Right. You know? Are there any of the other films that we've seen, do you think that you would have enjoyed them better in animation form, like out of the episodes we've done for the podcast?
I don't think we really have one that would have worked better in animation. Because I think animation as a medium is really strong, and it can almost be used for like any like genre. Like there was a documentary that came out last year that was fully animated that was really good called Flea. So like you can make animation work for any genre, but of the films we've watched, I feel like all of them wouldn't be better told in animation. I'm trying to think of maybe any.
So top of
I
my
feel like
mind,
maybe Exorcist or Midsommar, you could do something fun with the animation, but I don't know if it would necessarily be better. But you can maybe get a little more creative with the visuals.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. I was thinking at the top of my head, Nativity Story.
I could see that.
Yeah, I just think that like reflecting on my problem with, I know you like a lot of the cool, like for example, like the cool angel depictions where they're like just like these amorphous blob type shapes and like circles and like, I don't know, that's not what the angel Gabriel looked like according to Mary, but you could do more creative stuff like that in the realm of animation, especially for like a story that says, I'd say the Exodus story and the Nativity story are on the same level of it's well known, I guess you could say, outside of religious groups.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. Yeah. I think doing a mainstream movie like the Nativity story, I think that story they'd probably be hesitant about doing a Prince of Egypt style animated version because it's a little too, like, it doesn't revere things as much as maybe they would want. Like, I think the slapstick comedy wouldn't necessarily be appreciated, and they'd be worried about, like, upsetting people if they did, like, a direct, like, Jesus story with that type of stuff.
Right. I know, because the closing credits for this, like, it had the Hebrew Bible, the New Testament, and the Quran, like, various verses from each of the texts. You obviously mm-hmm. couldn't really do that with the Nativity story because it's Christian-based rather mm-hmm. than all those other religions. So although I feel like
I know Jesus exists in the Quran, so I'm sure they have their own version of the Nativity story because he's still a prophet. He's just not the Son of God, so there's still probably something around him.
What I thought from what I read from mm-hmm. Muslim understanding of who Christ is, hold on, let me think. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, they see him as a creation of God or a creation in the same way Adam was made. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. See, from what I had read, they viewed him as a prophet, but not as the Son of God.
But Mary's also in the Quran, and I can't recall whether or not they believe that he was of a virgin birth. But I believe they do believe mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, I'm pretty ignorant about the Quran in a lot of ways. I know, from what I understand, the Quran depicts his death and resurrection as more like his physical body was taken to heaven and his physical body will
return.
Like he was physically lifted off the cross type of thing, yes. rather than he was buried for 3 days or put in the tomb for 3 days and risen. I know that much, but yeah, I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, that was so
I'm sure there's some version of the Nativity story then if they do believe in Mary and Jesus. It's in some form at least.
Right. I know, I believe Mary is mentioned in the Quran more than she's mentioned in the New Testament. So that's a fun fact.
Huh.
So yeah, I guess translating a Christian film would be more difficult because you have a less audience. I guess that's why I feel like the Exodus story is probably one of the biggest religious-based films to get translated to film. Like, there's that one with Christian Bale.
Yeah. You hit on all the Abrahamic religions, whereas New Testament ones, you're limiting to one of the Abrahamic ones, essentially.
Mm-hmm. As I was reading the Bible, I thought a lot of the Old Testament stories would translate decent to film. I'm surprised that they kind of just stick to the Exodus story, but mm-hmm. maybe that's just my ignorance on like where the overlap is, I suppose.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
But yeah, I enjoyed the film more than I thought I did, but I don't have the nostalgia to back it up to where I probably didn't enjoy it as much as other people. I'd mm-hmm. say, did you have any favorite scenes in the film?
Probably just the parting scene, just for the animation. Like, you could just like watch that on loop with like no audio and have it just be like a moving art piece, you know?
Yeah.
I guess the plague scene too, but that's less of that's really well animated, but it's not like something you'd want necessarily in that same way.
Have you seen any of the other Exodus movies?
Not that I can remember. I might have, but nothing's jumping to mind.
I was trying to think of other religious films that are Old Testament. They did Noah. That's the one that I was thinking of.
They did Noah, and then they did, like, Evan Almighty and Bruce Almighty.
Yeah, classic Old Testament stories.
I mean, it's a retelling of Noah, one of them. I can't remember which one, but
that one would be Evan Almighty. Bruce Almighty's my preferred. I hope we do that one someday.
The Jim Carrey one?
Yeah. I think it's funny. A monkey climbs out of someone's bum.
That is pretty funny.
And everyone actually laughs. You know what?
Thinking about it, speaking of Jim Carrey, this movie has a really good cast. Like, all the voice actors are really, really good.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously, Val Kilmer's Moses, Ralph Fiennes is Ramses, Michelle Pfeiffer is in there, Sandra Bullock's in there, Jeff Goldblum, Danny Glover, Patrick Stewart. Like, it's a stellar cast.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty cool. I didn't know who the cast list was going into the movie because, gosh, I feel so ignorant. Because this is like, I honestly didn't even know this movie existed for the longest time. But the biggest surprise was hearing Jeff Goldblum's voice. That was a funny surprise.
Yeah. He's in it.
He is in it.
If that was Martin Short. What's his name? Can't remember now. Somebody's in it. Steve Martin. Oh, and Martin Short. They're both in it. I was right.
You cracked the case.
Cracked the case. The two Martins.
Yep. So far we've talked about the voice cast, the animation and design, just like the controversy aside behind making a film like this, the music. What do you think the overall reception of the film was? Do you think?
I think it's pretty positive because everyone remembers it fondly, and I feel like it plays it just safe enough to probably not get a lot of backlash, but I feel like it's the type of movie that would probably have made a lot of money.
Yeah.
And been mostly well received. Obviously there would have been the few people, either like the non-religious people saying it's like indoctrinating kids, or the religious people that are saying it's not venerating the subject matter enough. So I'm sure there's like fringe complaints.
So we got a budget of $70 million and a box office of $218.6 million.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. So the film holds an approval rating of 80%, which is pretty solid. Let's see, average of 7.10. Dude, I didn't know they did decimals. 7.10 out of 10? Does that seem like a thing?
7.1 out of 10?
Yeah, 7.1, but it has a zero. Gosh, Wikipedia is
1.0.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Wikipedia can be the worst sometimes. That's why your teacher has told you to never use it. Anyone can go and edit this stuff, make you look really dumb when you're recording a podcast.
That's why you use the references that are linked at the bottom of the page.
Yeah, I'm going to go to everything I'm reading and click on that bottom reference to verify myself like some kind of loser. Just kidding. That was a joke. But overall, yeah, I enjoyed the film. I don't know if I have much more to say about it. We kind of touched on all the bases. I think you're kind of...
it forever ago, so I'm like having a hard time remembering specific things. I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, and I think overall you're just kind of indifferent about it. Like it was just like kind of a fine film for you.
Yeah, I know it's a bad take, but I'm also the same way about like most of the Disney animated ones too, which I know a lot of people probably give me crap for, but
where would you put it on your personal 1 out of 10 scale list?
Just a 5. It's fine.
That's fair. I'd give it probably closer to a 8.
I lied. I'd probably bump it up to a 6 just for the animation, because the animation alone is worth it.
Yeah,
like I'm glad I watched it just for that, even if like the story and like everything else didn't quite hook me as much.
Like I feel like I kind of trash talked it more than I intended. I really enjoyed it. I feel like 8 out of 10.
I'm bringing the mood down with my glaring indifference.
I just think the slapstick and stuff, it's a little bit too... I didn't get into it young enough. Oh, Hans Zimmer made the music. I forgot to mention that. That's pretty sweet.
Nice. That is pretty good.
But yeah, I enjoyed it. And that's all I gotta say. And I know you have to say something about what the next episode is going to be.
Yeah. So next week. week. It'll be the, obviously, it'll be the, what date will that be? The date this podcast. So next week, our episode will come out on the 29th? No? Hold on. No, this episode will come out, it'll be the 5th. It'll be the 5th of June, and that'll be about a week and a half after the last episode of Under the Banner of Heaven, which is a currently airing show on Hulu. And it's about like a bunch of murders involving a specific like sect of Mormons. So we're going to go ahead and deep dive that show. We're going to watch all the episodes. I've already watched 3 of them. I don't think you've watched any of them yet, Xavier, but we're going to watch all that and discuss that whole show. And it'll be our first time diving into the Mormon religion.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that one. Invite all your Mormon friends.
And their many, many kids.
And introduce them
Catholics
to the Real Belief podcast. Yeah, Catholics do have.
We won't make fun of them too much.
Yeah. Well, don't make promises you can't keep, Archie.
I said try.
Thank you for listening, guys, and let us know what you would like to watch next.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, on TikTok. I think that's the only social medias we have. If you want to email us, it's realbeliefpod@gmail.com. Shoot us any questions, comments, concerns, memes, whatever you want to send us our way, send them over there. And thank you for listening. Bye.